Here we go. All right, everybody, welcome to Tax Mama's Home. This is where we live, and today's topic is everything you ever wanted to know about the EA exam, but didn't know who to ask. And this year, we are going to be looking at the exam that starts on May 1st of 2021 and ends on February 28th, 2022. So the current window is about to close in about 2 weeks, and then the Prometric folks are going to close for 2 months while they redo the exam. So what are we going to be doing? First of all, we like celebrations. We love celebrations. And February is Black History Month, and there's a really neat link to the National Day Calendar if you're interested. But many of you know the wondrous things and inventions and contributions we have gotten from Africans, American Africans, and all kinds of Black Lives Matter contributions from people in our world. And each month, if you look at this calendar, there is somebody or something to celebrate. What else we get to celebrate this month? As it happens to be National Enrolled Agents Month. Did you know that? And so this month, we recognize the contributions of all of the enrolled agents who represent taxpayers all year long, as it happens. So I thought that was kind of neat. This is what we're going to be talking about today. So today what we're going to be doing is we're talking about what an enrolled agent is for those of you who don't already know, and exactly how to qualify for the exam and all of that stuff, the prerequisites, what you need to do and know in order to be an enrolled agent. We'll explain the scoring, the changes to the exam this year. There are going to be a lot of changes to the exam. So we've got some extra time we're going to spend because of those changes, and I think it's going to be very important to you. And then we're also going to talk about, in the end, for those of you who want to stick around, we'll talk about the Tax Mama course. But that's going to be at the end, so you don't have to stick around for that if you're not interested. Of course, we would like you to, but you don't have to. So let's start with what is an enrolled agent? The IRS says that the enrolled agent is the highest credential that the IRS awards. And that is a very significant statement. IRS thinks very highly of the enrolled agent status. Enrolled agents can represent taxpayers before the IRS. Anywhere in the world, they can represent taxpayers before states. So CPAs and attorneys who are licensed by their state society can also represent taxpayers before the IRS anywhere in the world, but they can only represent taxpayers in the states where they have a license and maybe some states where there's reciprocity. And that's why a lot of CPAs and EAs have thought about joining the class and getting their EA credential so that they can move around the country without having to recertify for their CPA or their bar cards, and they can work with the states wherever they decide to move. So that's a huge advantage to being an enrolled agent. You have mobility, you have flexibility, and recognition as the consummate tax professional. Enrolled agents are the only tax professionals, licensed tax professionals, who are required to maintain continuing education in taxation, specifically in taxation. No other professional is required to maintain their education specifically in taxation. So being an enrolled agent is pretty prestigious, and it also means that you need to keep up with what's going on in the tax world, which, as you may have noticed, They have changes all the time. So, we do want to know what's going on because every time we turn around, what happens? Somebody passes another law. So, we're going to talk about what kind of things, don't know why I can't keep the whoops, what kinds of things you need to know for education, what age you need to have, the citizenship and residency requirements, compliance, and the PTIN requirement. So we're going to talk about all of that, and I want to be able to keep my chat box open. Why can't I keep my chat box open? Okay, so when it comes to education, there's no degree requirement. You don't even have to have a high school education. So becoming an enrolled agent means you have to know a heck of a lot about tax. You have to be able to pass the exam for taxation, but you don't actually have to have any particular kind of degree. So it's really important, though, to learn everything you need to know about taxation in order to pass the exam and to maintain your EA credential. We didn't used to have a minimum age, but now, because I asked the IRS a question about a 16-year-old and there was nothing in the law that says he couldn't be one, we now do have a minimum age. Sorry about that. And that's also tied to the PTIN and the Preparer Tax ID number, which we'll talk about. So you have to be at least 18 to become an enrolled agent and get your license. So if you pass the exam when you're 17, you've got to wait until you're 18 to get licensed. Do you have to be a US citizen? No. Do you have to have a green card? No, you don't. You can live anywhere in the world. You don't have to have US citizenship, residency, or anything else, but we'll talk more about the requirements when we get to the PTIN. But compliance is super important. And what does that mean? That means that if you are a US taxpayer, which means you're a citizen or a green card holder, you're a US national, wherever you are in the world, you had to have filed all your tax returns to date. You had to have paid all of your taxes. And that means your income taxes. And if you had a business, the business taxes. And if you had a payroll, your payroll taxes. All of that has to be in compliance because the IRS does a background check. And part of the background check is about whether or not the enrolled agent candidate is worthy to be working with taxpayers. If they're not in compliance themselves, what kind of an example can they be to other taxpayers and clients? If you have some problem with that and you're not quite there in compliance, if you're my student, you let me know and I will help you resolve that problem so that IRS will grant you your EA credential. And I've done that for many people who are very surprised because they might not have filed, they might have owed money, and we've helped them sort it out. So I've got a lot of experience dealing with that problem. After all, I've only been teaching the online version of this class for about 17 years now. The PTIN, that's the Preparer Tax ID number. So, the Preparer Tax ID number is absolutely mandatory for this process. It's absolutely mandatory. So, if you want to sit for the exam through Prometric, you have to have your PTIN in order to set up your application to sit for the exam. You can sign online in minutes. So just go to this link over here and sign up online. It's really easy to do. You could do it on paper, but don't do that. The W-12 can take weeks and weeks and weeks to process. Online, it can take minutes. They started charging a fee of $35.95, so it's not very much. For a while there, we were getting away with not having to pay a fee. So now the fee is $35.95 to get the P10 in the first place. We renew it every year. We start renewing around November, and we have until January to finish renewing. There are some good things about the P10, about having that, besides just the fact that you're able to sit for the exam at Prometric. You're also able to log in and see all of your continuing education in your P10 database. And if you're doing more than 50 tax returns electronically, you're able to see all of the tax returns that you have filed. So it's definitely well worth the trouble to get that, despite some people's complaints about it. So somebody wants to know, what's if you filed an extension for 2019, but filed and then paid them in on time? Absolutely. You're entitled to legal extensions. So that isn't a problem at all. Does compliance mean you can have a tax payment plan to pay off any back taxes? If you owe taxes in arrears and you've set up an installment agreement and you're paying the taxes, you'll be fine. But if you did an offer and compromise, you may have a problem. So offers and compromise may not work for you. The P10 database is really easy to use. There's a whole bunch of useful information in there and other credentials that you might end up getting. There used to be a designation called the Registered Tax Return Preparer. For a while, IRS tried to require that all tax professionals should get an education. They don't have the authority to mandate this, so they don't have the authority to require the education, not in the code of law. So what they did was offer an optional program for people to sit down, take a test, mostly on part one of the EA exam, and to basically show that they had a level of competency with taxation. So what happened was people started objecting because in most of the states in the union, there is absolutely no requirement for any kind of licensing for tax professionals. California and Oregon have long had licensing and testing requirements and education updates. Maryland added that recently. Those are the only three states that actually have complete requirements. I know New York has a licensing requirement, but they don't have the rest of the education and training that IRS requires. So basically, we've got four states out of 50 and territories that have any kind of licensing requirement. The other 50 minus 4 minus 4 is 46 states have no requirement. So IRS tried to increase the competency of tax professionals in the other 46 states, and there was a lawsuit. It was called Loving versus IRS. They objected to even the voluntary requirement that people must have some kind of an education and licensing. Okay, it's not just for history purposes, I'm telling you, but those people who went through those classes, which, you know, the RTRP no longer exists, it doesn't matter. Those people that did pass that, even though it expired now for since about 5 years or more, they get to keep certain special privileges. And we have something in a new voluntary program called the Annual Filing Season Program Requirement, which tax professionals who voluntarily take classes and get the education can get this certificate and get included in the IRS database of tax professionals. So the IRS only includes preparers who are CPAs, EAs, attorneys, or people who have the annual filing season program record of completion, and folks who had previously passed that RTRP exam have a reduced education requirement. They don't have to go through some of the extra steps that everybody else has to go through. So they do get privileges. Whoops, let's do that. All right, so let me tell you about this annual filing season program. You can do this without being an enrolled agent. The general requirement for the annual filing season program record of completion means the tax professional has to take 18 hours of continuing education every year. And as part of that, they have to take a 6-hour class. They have to take a 6-hour federal tax update class every year. Those classes start becoming available after June, and I teach one of those. I record one of those for Lambers. As part of that class, they also have to pass a 100-question exam. So they have to do this every single year. So they have to do this 6-hour class and the 100-question exam that they have to pass every year, plus 2 hours of ethics and an additional 10 hours of federal tax courses. So that's the 18 hours you need to have to get your annual filing season program record of completion. But if you're a former RTRP, you don't have to take this 6-hour class. You don't have to take that exam. So if you're a former RTRP, all you have to do is get 15 hours of continuing education, which includes 3 hours of ethics course, 2 hours of ethics courses, and 3 hours of federal tax update, plus the 10 hours of other regular federal tax classes. It's not just the former RTRPs. It also applies to anybody who is licensed in California, Oregon, or Maryland. Or those of you who've passed part one of the EA exam also get this privilege. So as long as your period is open to finish passing the EA exam, you can get your AFSP with the minimum requirements. There are some other programs, some other designations and licensing that have that same privilege as well. And if you follow this link, you will see who else gets that privilege. One of the other benefits or groups that have this benefit, I don't know if any of you know Susan Holtgrief, who was one of our graduates and now one of our instructors. She's operating a VITA program, a volunteer income tax assistance program in Pennsylvania. And she asked, you know, we have to go through all of this testing and training to be VITA volunteers. Why can't we get CPE? So I asked the IRS, and they said, that's a good idea. We'll give VITA volunteers CPE, and VITA volunteers and TCE tax counseling for the elderly, AARP groups, volunteers also can get the reduced 15-hour requirement to get their annual filing season program record of completion. Pretty nifty. Oops. Okay. For those of you, very briefly, for those of you who are interested in participating in my class will give you all of the 15 hours that you need to get your AFSP before you finish passing the exam if you don't get it done during the year, or even if you do. Our live class is going to start on May 1st. It will run through October. If you're already a Tax Mama family member, you can get 20% off of the current early bird prices. Anybody else gets the early bird price. And if you stick around till the end, I'm going to give you a special discount code to get $100 off. And if two or more people register at the same time and enter the information for the other person registering with them, so if you register and pay at the same time, the system already has built-in discounts. So that's the end of that. And we're getting back to information about the exam. First thing you want to do today is set up your account with Prometric. So before you're done today, after you leave here, and you can download the handout so you have all of the links today, go to prometric.com and I'll give you the link is easier. The bottom here on the bottom of the page, prometric.com/IRS. Log in over there, set up your account. If you don't already have your PTIN, get that done first and go do that. All you need to do is sign up online. You don't have to pay anything. There is a paper form, but you don't want to go there. You don't schedule your class yet. Don't worry about it, but just set up your account. So if there are going to be any problems, you know about it now and you have time to fix it before you have to start taking the exams. What does the application look like? You're not going to have to actually fill this application out on paper. You can, but it's not advisable. When you log into Prometric and set up your account, you're going to also fill in this application. It doesn't ask for a lot of complicated stuff. It asks for things that you might know the answer to, like your last name, your first name, your mailing address, city, and so forth. It does ask for your preparer tax ID number. Please use the same name on the preparer tax ID number application that you use for Prometric. They have to match. So that gets to be a little complicated. It doesn't even ask for your social security number over here. Did you notice that? When you apply for your preparer tax ID number, you'll provide your social security number there. If you don't have one because you're outside the country, the application for the PTIN will tell you how to get the PTIN without a social security number. If you don't have a social security number, it's time to start working on that PTIN application immediately because it can take a while to get your application approved without a social security number if you're outside the country. But remember, if you're outside the country, you can still participate. How do you schedule the exam? Well, you go into the Prometric database when you're ready to schedule it. You find the location closest to your town, maybe even in your town. Some of the large cities may have more than one location. For instance, the Los Angeles area had a couple. Some may not have any at all. And Prometric has been closing locations left and right because of COVID-19 and maybe not a lot of activity in the area. Prometric does not just handle the IRS exam. They handle examinations for nurses, fire folk, police folk, all kinds of other professions. So they handle maybe 200 or 300 types of examinations. It's not just us. Last year, we had a big problem with people scheduling appointments and getting there and finding out the night before or early in the morning that their appointment was canceled. And, you know, we were very angry about that and thought it was really unreasonable to give people notifications so late. Some people had to travel overnight and get a hotel room. Turns out many of those were due to either COVID-19 that some test taker had brought in or some staff person who couldn't come into work because they ended up getting quarantined. So it's kind of settled down a little bit. There's a phone number that you can call for help, and I'll give you another phone number down below. Well, and I'll give you another phone number later on that is not published. You pay using a credit card. They used to accept paper checks or money orders. They don't do that anymore. You can pay for the exam using pay.gov with this particular link. Last year, they dropped the price just a little bit to $182 per exam. I don't think they're going to increase it, but I asked the IRS yesterday if they were going to change the prices, and he told me that they will announce that in March. So when we redo this session in March, I will have a better answer, but I'll be updating the slides and posting them both at taxmama.com and in the board for the EA exam class. When you schedule your appointment, you're going to receive a confirmation email, and it's going to show the date, time, and everything else, and make sure you review it carefully and put it on your calendar. If there's a problem, get in touch with them as soon as you can. In fact, I just heard from one of our students this morning that she had an appointment on Friday and kind of missed the time. And they allowed her to reschedule to yesterday morning. They didn't charge her. That's very unusual. But they were very kind and let her reschedule for free to yesterday. And so she finished passing all of her exams. So that was very good. Yay, Rosemary. If you are trying to work with Prometric and you cannot get your appointment sorted out, or they keep canceling your appointment. For instance, we had somebody in Hawaii and they kept canceling her appointment after she drive, believe it or not, for hours to get to the location. And we've had some other issues. Please let me know. For my students, I will go out of my way, bend over backwards to try to find a solution for you. And I can be quite a pest to the IRS, and I know who to bug. So this is one of the things I will do for my students. Let's do a quick poll because I also want to test the polling system. How much experience do you have preparing tax returns? The polls aren't necessarily in the same order that I had them. So just go ahead, and there's no right answer. Just go ahead and just give us an idea. Megan wants to know, do we need to fill out the application for the EA exam before starting the Tax Mama course? No, you don't need to do that. But as soon as possible, do register for Prometric and your PTIN to avoid any problems later. So I think you can see, hang on, I think you can see the polling. You can see the results? You can't see the results. How do I share the results? So we've got about 15% that are 1040 only, 23% that are many years 1040 and business returns, 7%, 6 that are many years 1040 and payroll, lots of varied experience at 13%. Mostly my own return and friends for 19%. Not much experience, but extensive accounting, about 18%. And a little experience, but I need to learn more. So how do I show? I have to finish it first. I have to close it, and then I can share the results. There we go. Okay, then. All right. Okay, we'll get back to the questions again. I don't have them in the same order. There are sometimes people who have disabilities. You may have hearing disabilities, breathing disabilities, various other things. Prometric will accommodate you. There's no problem with that, but they don't have a lot of facilities for many people. So you're actually going to need to call them at this 800 number. Call them between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. ET, Eastern Time. Whoops. That's interesting. Um, between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern to get an accommodation. So do this well in advance, please do this well in advance, because they don't have a lot of accommodations, but they will work with you. So they will fill that up fairly quickly. Now, how does the exam work? Here's how it works. You're going to be able to take each exam. There are three parts to the exam. You're going to be able to take it four times during the testing window. So starting on May 1st and ending on February 28th, you can take each exam up to four times. If you don't pass the first time, you don't want to, because you're going to have to pay each and every time. So ideally, you want to try to pass the first time. Where is the exam offered? Pretty much in most places around the United States and a few places outside the United States. So you might be able to find it in places in Europe. You might even be able to find it in places in Africa, believe it or not. So there are a number of places that you can take the EA exam. The exam is a 3.5 hour exam. The entire time is 4 hours. The first 15 minutes, they give you 15 minutes to get familiar with the software. And then at the end, they also give you 15 minutes to give them some comments and notes about your experience. So as I said, right now, it's $182 for each part of the exam. You can't get a discount by paying for all three at once, so don't. And don't schedule all three at once unless space is very, very scarce in your area. People have had to travel out of their comfort zone to take the exam. For instance, Tony lives in Mexico, and he had to travel into the United States because they didn't have a place near him in Mexico. They may have a location in Mexico, but it was closer for him to go into the United States. You know, some people from England may have taken it in Paris. So if you're going to have to take it in an area that is not where you live, consider finding a place that you might enjoy visiting and spend a few days there and reward yourself. There is a fee to reschedule normally. If somebody wants to reschedule, between 5 and 29 days before the exam. If they try to reschedule 5 days before the exam, they're going to lose their money. So they have to pay again. So one of the things that you might think about if you're feeling like, I'm not really ready, but it's 5 days before the exam, take the exam anyway. You've already paid for it. You're not getting your money back. You might as well see what you know. It's a good dry run, and who knows, you might actually pass. And like Rosemary this last Friday, they might be kind and let you reschedule if you manage to miss up a couple of days before. So this is the phone number that I wanted to give you. This is the special phone number that they don't publish anywhere. This is the main phone number, and you might sit on hold forever, but this other phone number, 800-853-6769, may be kind of a back end deal, and you may be able to reach somebody you might otherwise not have been able to reach. So you might be able to reach support and get some help in case, you know, you can't reach anybody else. Is the exam, Kenyatta wants to know, is the exam no longer offered online? No, it never was, but we'll talk about that. As I said, you register at prometric.com/IRS. They have a longer link, but it's not a big deal. They will publish the new candidate information bulletin next month. They don't have that out there yet. So the new details are going to be published by the middle of next month. So here's some information about some of the locations. And this is information I got from the Prometric website. You see, you can also use this prometric.com/CSEE special enrollment examination. So you can see that you've got locations in Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in India. Look at all of this great stuff. So you can look up the links on their Prometric site for the locations. Could be fun. They also, on this particular page, I wanted to make sure you have this, prometric.com/closures, search it by country, and these are the places that are either permanently or temporarily closed. So you can see Australia and Germany, and you can see it tells you on the left-hand column what dates those locations are closed. For instance, for some reason, Chico, California is closed between January 1st and September 1st of 2021. I don't know why. So you can see when those particular locations are going to be closed for the long term and know to find another place to sit for the exam. Now, your identification is important. Your identification has to be current. So it has to have the same name that is on your PTIN account, the same name that's on your application. And if you look different than your ID, you need to get the ID updated. And literally, you think I'm kidding around about sex changes. We literally had one student who showed up at Prometric. He'd had a sex change operation, or she did, I don't know. And so the appearance was drastically different, couldn't be admitted to sit for the exam. Someone else lost over 100 pounds and looked very different, had to reschedule and get better ID. So you have to make sure you have good ID with a photo and a signature. So make sure that your driver's license looks like you. The other thing that I do want to recommend, and it doesn't have so much to do with the exam, somebody just brought up an issue today, getting married. Don't change your legal name when you get married. If you change your legal name, you have to change your driver's license, you have to go into the Social Security record, and if you're dealing with IRS preparation, you have to change your electronic filing ID number, your PTIN, and a bunch of other numbers inside the IRS database. Don't do that. You don't want to go there. Keep your legal name, and for social purposes, use your married name on invitations and stuff like that. It will make your life so much easier if you keep your legal name, your license, your driver's license, your business cards, and all of that the same, and whatever other professional licenses you have. There are special requirements for people who are Amish or Mennonites and who may not necessarily have a photo ID. And so if you know somebody who has some of those special issues, they have information on that. Now, let's talk about the exam. Hang on. Let's see if we have other questions that need to be answered. Exams are only offered during certain months and time frames of the year, from May 1st of each year to February 28th, all year. So 10 months of the year. This is the information, this gray box is the information from last year that Prometric still has. However, I have updated that. So for the exams that we are going to start taking in May, they are going to cover everything on the tax laws that were passed up through the end of December 31st of 2020. Anything that gets passed after that isn't going to be on the exam because they don't have time to update the information in the exam themselves. So they're going to be updating this box in the new candidate information bulletin. So what is the exam going to cover this year? All of that Consolidated Appropriations Act that was passed on December 27th of last year, all 5,593 pages, the CARES Acts, there were about five or six of them that were passed in 2020, and the further Consolidated Appropriations Act that was passed at the end of December in 2019, that includes the SECURE Act, that includes the Disaster Act, and some of the stuff that we've been working with in the 2019 tax returns that went retroactively to 2018, all of this stuff, all of this stuff is going to be on the exam. And as we go through each part of the exam today, I'm going to tell you what additional things that the Prometric folks have said they're going to emphasize on each of the different exams, so that however you study, you're going to know to focus on that. So when it comes to scoring, how does the scoring work? Back in the distant mists of time, when the IRS was doing this on a paper exam, you had true-false questions, multiple choice questions, and multiple choice math type questions. And so you got 1 point for true-false, 2 point for general multiple choice, and 3 points for the problems. It doesn't work that way anymore. And the exam no longer has true-false questions. So all of the exam questions have multiple choices. There are four answer choices for every question. And now they use a quantitative analysis system to determine your score. So there is no specific score for any question. And because they have a large database of questions, no two people are going to get exactly the same exam. The computer is going to pull 100 questions out of the database uniquely for every exam candidate. The passing score is 105, so the range of possible scores is 40 to 130. And if you fail, you're going to get a message that's coded 1, 2, or 3, and I'll explain to you how that's, you know, that works and what that means. If you don't pass, as I said, you can retake it three more times during that same testing window from May through February. If you come really, really close, like you're at 102 or something like that, you may want to think about spending a day or two at home and boning up on some of the areas that you thought you were weak on. And while you're there, trying to reschedule a couple of days later and take the exam immediately. As I said, every exam is going to be different. So if you had one exam that had a lot of farm questions and you weren't great at farms and you go study really hard on farms, the next exam might not have any farm questions at all. So the exams are not going to be exactly the same. So make sure that you are up to date on all of the different topics for the exams. And, you know, Prometric publishes an entire list. Whatever study software you're using, GLIM, Passkey, Fast Forward Academy, Lambers, whatever you're using, they all have an internal scoring system. If you're getting 85% results on anybody's system, you're ready to take the exam. So don't worry about it. The score report that I was telling you about is that when you fail, down here at the bottom, if you get a number one, it means you're weak in that topic, and they'll give you that score on each of the different topics in the exam. Number one means that you're weak and you really need to bone up on that topic. Number two is you're marginal, you know some stuff, but you really need to learn more about it. And number three, score is strong. You really understand that subject area. Now, remember I told you about Susan Holtgreef, you know, the lady who runs the VITA site in Pennsylvania. Well, she asked, if we can get this 1, 2, 3 score for people who fail, why can't we get it for people who pass? So when we pass, we know if we need to learn more about some of the topics. So I asked the IRS, and they kind of shrugged and said, yeah, you know, that's a good idea. So when you pass, now you're also going to get the same information. When you pass an exam, how long do you get to keep the passage? Back in the old days, when I took the exam, when it was on paper, and the exam was only offered once a year in September or October, and it was a 2-day exam, and we had 4 exams, and we had to take all 4 exams on those 2 days, we didn't know whether or not we passed until, you know, that was September, October. We didn't know until March. And then We only had 1 year in which to fix it. If we didn't pass one or two parts, we had only the next September or October to finish passing. If we didn't pass, we had to start all over again. So now what we have with the Prometric program, if you don't pass all three parts, you had 2 years in which to finish passing everything. But wait, Tax Mama asked them. They had a special provision last year because so many of the places were closed. And they said people who were taking the exam in 2020 were going to get 3 years. And I said, no, that's not right. The people who started passing in 2019, they're facing the same problem trying to get accommodations for an appointment. Don't you think they should get the extra year as well? So bugging the IRS every few days, we got the IRS to agree that for now, people who started taking the exam and passing in 2019 or 2020 have 3 years. I'm not sure if that's going to apply to people who take it in 2021, but I'm pretty sure it will because we have so many closures and so many places that are randomly closing because of COVID-19 quarantines and infections. So I'm pretty sure that you're also going to have 3 years. So how does that work? So let's say that you passed one part, part three, on May 16th of 2020. That means you have until May 16th of 2023 to finish taking and passing part one and two. So here's what you may want to do is put a note if you're using something like a Google Calendar. What you may want to do is put the date of your exam that you completed it, and then about, instead of 36 months later, say 30 months later, put it on your calendar that you must start preparing to finish taking your last exam. So that way, you won't lose what you've already passed, because if you miss that deadline, but you've passed, let's say, the next part, you get to keep the next part for 3 years, but you'll have to retake the other one. So make sure that you keep track of the dates. And one of the things that you may want to do is, you know, that Google Calendar thing, and it's a free system, and you can have different types of calendars, you know, for clients and other deadlines. If you're working doing representation, you don't have the regular deadlines that we have for tax returns. You may want to use that and put dates in advance of deadlines you have for representation and audit clients and so forth. Is there a regrading option? Well, we'll talk about that. So first of all, we've got the passing rates. The Prometric folks actually post information about the passing rates for each exam by month. And the passing rate drops later in the year. So in the summer, the passing rate is a little bit higher, but towards the end, it's a little bit lower. So people who took the Part 1 exam in 2019, about 68% of them passed in the summer, and about 55% by the time they were taking it in January and February. I don't really know why, because I figure people who are taking it in January, February really did studying and got it over with and got it done. So I don't know why that rate drops. For people taking part two, which is really the hardest exam, the average passing rate was 70%, but they dropped in January and February, not as much as part one. Look at that, 66%. And the people taking part three, which is the easiest exam because it has the least amount of math and covers the least amount of overall information, about 90% of the people pass, and it drops to about 85% in January and February. So they have this chart, and you can take a look at the chart, and they have an actual separate chart for each one of them if you want to play around with that. Let's do another polling question. Hang on. Yeah, there we go. Let's do another polling question or information question. Do you have your P10 yet? Hopefully, many of you do. I'm hoping that most of you have. And so far, we've got 75% of the people voting. So during class, these things are going to be tracked as regular polls, and we'll be able to use this information to give everybody continuing education credits for the AFSP, or if you're already an EA or CPA, you'll be able to get the credit. And I think 79% of people have voted. I'm going to end the poll in about 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. We're closing. And thank you all for not saying what's a PTIN. So that's very gratifying. 84% of you have your PTIN. So only a few of you, only 10 of you, don't have it yet. So that's pretty cool. Thanks, Melissa. I appreciate that. Humor is okay. Don't worry about it. Okay, so what's in the exam? That's the big question, right? What's in the exam? Well, when Prometric started, they went to the National Association of Enrolled Agents and the National Association of Tax Professionals, and they invited members, not me, to help create the questions. And one of the things that they did was designate the concept that they wanted questions that dealt with issues that the average enrolled agent manages to come across in about the first 2 years of being a tax professional. Well, that's not exactly how it turned out. I think the people who were participating in this, each one of them wanted to show how much smarter they were than the other. And the questions really are a lot harder than the stuff that the average EA covers in the first 2 years of practice. And some things are questions on areas that most EAs never encounter at all. But the questions basically come from the Internal Revenue Code, from regulations, revenue rulings, and IRS publications. So the questions are drawn out of a large database of information. And sometimes even the publications, the IRS publications, which are not something you can use as a source for legal research, but the questions may be drawn from examples directly in the IRS publications and pulled into the exam and turned into multiple choice questions. And once you become an EA and you join one of these organizations, you may be able to participate in creating the questions. They just won't let any of us who teach the exam participate in creating the questions. Some kind of a security thing, I don't know. But they pay you for this. So once all of these questions are created, they all sit down with the IRS and with Prometric, and they review and see if the questions make sense. So in the beginning, when Prometric took it over, there were a lot of errors. There were things that the questions were inconsistent, contradictory, and so forth. And we were able to challenge a lot of those questions. So, somebody was asking about a regrading option. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. But over the last couple of years, over the last few years, there haven't really been many issues. In the beginning, when Prometric took it over, we had a lot of questions that we did challenge. We were able to challenge. I haven't seen any in the last 2 or 3 years. Okay. Well, I will tell you, though, that there is a process where we can challenge them, and that if somebody lets me know, if my students let me know that there is a question that is completely contradictory, more than one answer choice really would be correct, the dates or the years are wrong, and so the information doesn't match the current year law or things like that, if you let me know, I will bring it to the attention of the IRS. You won't have the question number because the question numbers will change for everybody. But if you give me enough information and you're one of my students, I will take it to the IRS and they will check to see if that if they can find the question and if other people have brought that up as a complaint. And we have in the past had questions removed, corrected, and people who were, you know, just a few points off from passing, because those questions were deleted from the system, they were able to get a letter from the IRS saying, hey, guess what? You passed. So we did have some kind of a regrading option that we've managed to kind of an informal method of having the IRS and Prometric review some of the information. So let's talk about the questions themselves. The exam has 100 questions and only 85 of them count. It's amazing. So you're taking this exam and you have 100 questions, and sometimes you're going to find questions that don't really seem to belong in that particular exam. This is for quantitative analysis, testing, internal stuff, and you won't know which 15 questions don't count. So I'm going to walk you through each part of the exam, and you're going to see exactly how this works and how many of these questions and topics you may need to know more about. So first of all, on the part one exam, we have 5 domains. So remember I told you when you pass the exam or fail, you're going to get a score of 1, 2, or 3 on each topic. The score will on your passing or your failing letter will go domain 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and give you a 1, 2, or 3 on that. So there are 14 questions on the preliminary work to prepare tax returns, getting all the groundwork done, 17 questions about taxable income and assets, 17 questions about all the deductions and tax credits, 15 questions about taxation and excise taxes and various other things, 11 questions about advising the individual taxpayer, and 11 questions on specialized returns for individuals, which typically are things like estate and gift tax returns, farming, and stuff like that. Actually, farming is in part two. So this page over here is just some of the new issues that Prometric is going to emphasize, some of the changes to this year's exam. I'm not going to read all of this to you. Life is too short, but I want you to be aware that they have picked up a lot of things related to last year's COVID-19 changes with distributions from retirement plans. They've added tax provisions for the members of the military as a whole other little area, and they are seriously focusing on the international issues, the foreign bank accounts, the foreign assets, foreign gifts and trusts and so forth, and foreign businesses. So there's a lot of stuff that they are focusing on, including illegal income, that is a greater emphasis than last year. For part two, we have the same 100 questions with 85 of them scored, but we only have 3 domains. We've got business entities and considerations, there are 30 questions, business tax preparations, which are 37 questions, and specialized returns and taxpayers with 18 questions. And this is where you are going to find the farm, you are going to find trusts, the 1041s, and various other things that are specifically focused on in this particular exam. Oops, I'm going to show you the new emphasis on this. One of the things that they have added as a completely new topic within part two is rental property. So everything related to the rental property, to the income on rentals, expenses, limitations, selling rental properties, All of that is new on the exam. They didn't have a specific place on the exam for that. I might have to actually set up an entirely new additional class for part two. Part two covers Schedule C businesses, partnerships, corporations, S corporations, LLCs, trusts. They cover a whole lot of different areas, including now rental property. You have this enormous amount of information, and this is the hardest exam to study for because so much is involved in this exam. And this used to be two exams, and the IRS and Prometric compressed it into one. That's why we only have three exams now. So we're dealing with a lot more in-depth information about the qualified business income deductions. We didn't have a lot of that in the past. We have a lot more about the farmers, droughts, and so forth. Although I have to say they've had a lot of farm questions in the past, and we've got a lot about retirement plans and so forth in part two, all of the business retirement plans, you know, 401ks, SEP IRAs, and so forth. So you're going to find a lot of that, but you're also going to find this is a big part of the exam where you have sales and exchanges of assets, setting up partnerships, incorporations, distributions to the partnerships, you know, transferring assets in and out of those places. So this is a big area in part two. Part three exam, which is, we said, the easiest. It does have four domains, but it covers basically Circular 230 is the biggest part of part three. Does anyone not know what Circular 230 is? There are 26 questions on practice and procedure, 25 on representation, 20 on the specific areas of representation, 14 on the filing process, which deals with the e-filing and all of the information that we have to deal with about ensuring the security of the information and the refundable tax credits and so forth that IRS audits especially. So what are they emphasizing? Their new emphasis is on incompetence and disreputable conduct. Very big on that. I've been teaching conflict of interest for a long time, representing decedents, and the statute of limitations on amended returns, claims for refund, and recognition of duplicate entries when you're processing tax returns. So I guess the IRS is seeing people having the same information duplicated and not clearing it out of the system. And for instance, this year we have IP PINs, identity protection PINs, that are available for taxpayers for both spouses, not just one of them. And they've opened it up to everybody to be able to get an IP PIN voluntarily. It used to be you could only get it if you had identity theft. So let's see. If there are any notes or questions, do you need to take them in order? Emmy says, no, you can take them in any order that you want. So what I've done is I've encouraged people to have, if they still are trying to take it this year, there's still time to sit down and actually study for and pass part three between now and the end of February, believe it or not. So if you're not working full-time right now, you might be able to pull it off. Yeah. So let's do another polling question. Hang on. And this is, we've just done that. Hang on. Didn't we just do that? Oh, look at that. Okay, so I copied the same one twice. So we're not going to do that. Ha! All right. As I said, I'm learning the system. So what does the exam look like? All right. First of all, you're going to go, if any of you have ever seen like Drabble, you know, you have that those computerized rooms, you know, with the little cubicles and everything. And you have these long tables, you've got little dividers, you've got a computer at each table. Don't bring anything with you. Do not bring anything with you at all. They will give you pencil and paper. Don't bring water. If you have a hearing aid, you may have a problem because you don't need your hearing aid. They don't want people with hearing aids where they might be able to get information from somebody in their ear. So you're going to have to disclose that. They're going to run a wand all over you before they let you into the testing room and make sure you don't have anything hidden. Anything you bring with you, they're going to give you a locker. You can put everything in. You can keep the key with you. That's okay. But you're not taking anything with you except your eyeglasses. So if you need an inhaler or something like that, let them know in advance. That's one of those special Americans with disability issues you want to disclose in advance. There's going to be a calculator on the screen itself. The new version is actually not so bad. The original version was really terrible. I took the exam the first day that Prometric offered it, the very first day, the very first morning. I went down to Pasadena and I sat for the exam for part two, just to see if I could pass it and to see the process. And they had a computer, a calculator on the screen, and it was terrible, really, really slow and sticky. So I asked the IRS if they would please provide physical calculators or give us parameters on what kind of a calculator we could bring in. And they said, no, you don't get to bring in a calculator, but we'll make them available. So the IRS has made those available. So ask for the calculator in case you don't want to use the one on the screen. It's not as bad as it used to be, but if you're used to working quickly, that calculator is going to be really, really slow. But what I do want you to do is I do want you to go to this link where next to the new over there. Go to that link on the Prometric site and test the system. There is a 15-minute version of the exam that covers everything, and it's the same introductory 15 minutes tool that they have you do when you go to the exam itself. So what you may want to do is go try that training version of the exam. Play with it as much as you want. You can do it over and over again. It doesn't matter until you're comfortable with the navigation and with the tools. I'll show you what it looks like. You can, if you like, go to a physical site and test drive the exam for free. They used to charge you $30. They're not doing that now. So you don't need to go there in person. You can use the one on the screen. The exam is all multiple choice. As I said, there's no true and false. And as you're going through the questions, you can mark them to be reviewed later. And you can see a menu that will show you which questions you've completed, which ones you haven't, and which ones you've marked. So the tool is really quite terrific. And yeah, and Andrea said they check your eyeglasses just in case they also have an audio system, because there are some glasses that do that where you can communicate with people. So yeah, they will check that. But if you need glasses, definitely bring them. So somebody was asking about remote testing, and everybody got really excited last year because Prometric set up this ProProctor system where people could take the exam remotely. And what they would do is they would assign an administrator to you. You would have a camera focused on you while you're taking the exam. And so the administrator can watch you while you're taking the exam. And you have to set up your cameras so they can see everything around you, and there's not supposed to be anything around you. And everyone got really excited that we're going to be able to do that with COVID-19, and it's not working, you know. And you know, we don't have, and Prometric keeps canceling locations and everything else. It's not ready for prime time for the EA exam. They have been beta testing it. I've heard from some people where IRS arranged with some companies, employees that had a lot of employees sitting for the exam to beta test it. There were a lot of glitches. And so they haven't approved it yet, but I did ask if they are planning on making it available maybe later this year. He says, not really, but we'll know more next month, but I don't think they're ready for prime time. It would be nice. It would be really nice because then you don't have to travel to another town or anything, but the security level and so forth may not be adequate for the IRS. At the beginning of the exam, when you sit down to the exam, you're going to have that 15-minute little training thing. If you don't need it because you have already gone through that test, that system that I've showed you where you can go to try and you've practiced with that, you don't need it. So what you want to do is during that 15 minutes, the administrator is going to start the exam and start that 15-minute training program for you. Write down everything you remember so that you don't have to hold it in your head, but watch the clock to make sure you click start for the exam before the 15 minutes ends. So you've got that extra time where you can write stuff down that isn't being counted as part of the exam. Once you start, you're going to face this non-disclosure agreement that says on penalty of death, you can't tell anybody anything that's in the exam. And I see a lot of people posting in Facebook and other places with information about the contents of the exam. I would be careful if I were you because you're basically signing this non-disclosure agreement and now you're posting in Facebook or some other forum with your name. I wouldn't do that. So be very careful about that. So here's what the exam overview is. This is the structure of the exam. So that exam overview and tutorial, I guess they've changed that to only 9 minutes. They have a break policy for about 2 minutes, so you can get up and walk around during the exam. You can get up, you can go get water or something like that anytime you feel like it. You're not going to get to do that often, but you can do that. They've broken the 100 question exam into two parts, okay? This happened last year. So the first half, you're going to have 50 questions. Then there's a 15-minute break, then another 50 questions, and then at the end, you're going to do a survey answering some questions and telling the IRS and Prometric about your impressions of the exam or about specific problems that you encountered with questions or during the exam. Now, the optional break, that 50-minute optional break, as I said, is optional, but the first 50 questions, you're going to have to finish them and close them. You won't be able to go back. So you have to actually finish them, review them, and close them before you start the next 50 questions, whether you take the break or not. So that was a new thing last year. Can you also take notes on the optional break? You can do anything. So you've got your pencil and paper. You can take notes. You can get up. You can go to the bathroom. You can stretch. Whatever you do, you have to do it quietly, not to disturb the other people at the exam. You can go out into the hallway and, you know, just maybe go outside and scream or something, but you can't go look at your car or anything else. You won't have your car keys or anything else with you. So they're not letting you get into your locker. If you need something from your locker, you've got some special drink or whatever, they will stand over your shoulder and watch you so you don't take anything out that might help you pass the exam. The paper that they give you, they only give you so much. If you use it all up, you've got two sides and usually about three pieces of paper. If you use it all up and you need more, they're going to take away the paper you've already used. So try not to ask for more paper. Try to use both sides of the paper and only use that because you're going to have notes over there. that may help you answer some other questions. So I don't want to give up the paper that I already have. So this is what it looks like in the exam software. This is how you navigate. So over here on the left-hand column, it shows you the question numbers. So you can click on them in any order. You don't have to answer the question specifically in order. And if you're on a question, for instance, you know, you're on question number 27, it's got that little mark showing that you've been there or you flagged it, and you've got this navigation down here, back, forward, and this is during this intro time, finish, you know, start the test. Over here on the bottom, you also have the grid that shows the entire list of all of the questions that have been marked and so forth, and also, you know, that little settings tool that will let you see a number of different things. When it comes to answering the questions, you're going to have this multiple choice question, and you're going to have four choices. And so you know how to deal with multiple choice questions. This is pretty straightforward. But you also have the calculator. So they have the little calculator over here. You can see, you can click on that and use that to work through the issues in the exam. When you're logging into ProMetric on your own before the exam while you're studying and you go through that training session, try the calculator and see if it works for you. If you're comfortable with it, fine, because this new version of the calculator is similar to the one in Microsoft Windows, so this might also work for you. The other thing that you need to make sure, you know, calculators have different ways that they deal with subtraction. On some calculators, you put in the number, then you put in the amount you're going to subtract, and then you put in the minus sign if you want to subtract something. On others, you have to put the minus sign in first and then the number. Make sure you know which way that calculator works. However that works in your computer, when you're playing with the training program at home, is how it's going to work at ProMetric. But know in advance how it works. And if you get a physical calculator, make sure you test the subtraction feature. Everything else is pretty straightforward, but different calculators handle subtraction differently. And I find people sometimes get into trouble when they don't test that. Now, the other thing that you can do on the exam is as you're reading the question, in the question itself, you can highlight some of the text. So you can highlight anything you think is important within that question, the key numbers, years, or whatever, and you can actually thank us for that. We asked the IRS if they could do that since it's so easy to do it in software, and they thought about that, and they said, yeah, we'll do that, not a problem. So the following year, we got that. The next thing that we got is being able to cross out answers. So we can't cross out in the question itself, but we can cross out the answer choices. So, you know, if you're looking at four answer choices and you're pretty sure one of them is not an option, you can cross that one out. If you're doing some numbers and you're pretty sure the next one is not right, you can cross that out. And whatever you can only highlight in the question. You can't highlight in the answer, and you can only cross out in the answer and not the question. Whatever you do with that page, when you move to the next page or the next question, it will be saved. So when you come back later, what you did is still going to be there in your exam, at least in the first 50 until you close the first 50, and then again in the next 50. So we got this for everybody. Now, you've got that little area where you have the section review over here, and you can filter that by the number of questions you've tried, the number of questions you haven't answered yet, and the ones that you flagged or marked to look at later. So here is, for instance, how it's going to look on the exam. You're going to see a question. You may see a grid with information that you need to look at, and you have the calculator there, and then you have the answer choices. And you see down here on the bottom where you have a flag, you can flag the question to come back later. And for some of the math questions, you may want to do that. So, you know, you're looking at a question and you kind of got it narrowed down, but it's going to take you a lot of time. Flag the question and come back to it later after you answer all the others. And you'll be able to see it over here on this section review, you know, which you can pick up down there. So you see how neat that is? So they've made it fairly elegant. It's pretty neat. Now, when it comes to reviewing the questions, this is what you're going to see. So you're going to see the questions that have been flagged. You're going to see the questions that were attempted, not attempted, and so forth. So you can see all of that stuff right here in one place, and you can move back and forth. You can move back and forth. You can look at the overview. You can skip questions. You can go directly to one of the questions, for instance. You're going to come over here. You don't have to go back to them in order. When you are done with the exam and you've reviewed everything, then make sure every question has been answered. You don't want to leave anything unanswered. You don't get negative points for getting something wrong. And you only get good points if you answer something and get it right. So if you're not sure, answer it anyway. You might accidentally turn out to be right, and that might be the extra point or two you need to get over to 105 points. When you're done and you're sure you're done, you're going to click the Finish Test button, and then that's going to take you to the survey, and you're going to answer the different questions. So we talked about the fact there's a special 15-minute break. So the timer on the exam is going to stop for 15 minutes. It is not going to be part of the whole 4 hours. So this is an extra 15 minutes that you have if you want to take that 15-minute break. And I recommend that you do, because sitting there for 4 hours, you know, or 3.5 hours straight could be really tough. Although a lot of people are able to finish the exams in an hour or two and don't end up using the whole time. And I teach my students how to go through, you know, like a 3-pass process to get through it quickly and easily without stress. I mentioned you can take those unscheduled breaks during the exam, but the timer will continue. So if you get up and you need to walk around, you know, you're starting to feel dizzy, you're starting to feel your eyes are blurry, do get up and walk around, walk out into the other room, into the main room where the reception area is. If they see you, it's okay. You're allowed to go to the bathroom, stuff like that, but you can't leave the test center. Some resources to help you study, some free resources. On the IRS website, they used to have an area where they had copies of some prior year exams from 1995 to 2005, which is the last year the IRS did the exam. But they took all of that off because a lot of that was gone. So what they did instead was they added some new questions and answers to this particular page. So you can go and see each of the three different exams, and they have a batch of about 10 or 20 questions. And each one starts with a page like this on top of that sample exam, where you can see what these different Internal Revenue codes or terms or abbreviations mean. And so it's not a bad idea for you to visit that no matter what tool you're using, just to see and get familiar with these abbreviations, common terminology, you know, for those of us in the know, and also to look at their sample questions. They're a little bit more updated than the ones from 1999. So you've got some nifty tools over there. Now, we talked about disputes. Somebody was asking about disputes. When the IRS was organizing this and it was on paper, they sent you back your actual exam book. We had these little white books and we could write all of our notes on it and you put your name on it and the IRS mailed it back to you and they mailed you the answer sheet that showed the answers to each question. And you know, you didn't get this till like March, but what you could do back then was you could contact the IRS and challenge the questions because you could see your own notes. You could see the actual question and you could see their answer. And we got a lot of challenges approved by the IRS. So we would take the information from students. We'd look at the questions ourselves and we would send it off to the IRS. And so a lot of people ended up passing because of the challenges. Well, we can't do that now because we don't get a copy of the exam. The exam is, you know, super secret. And now we only have your notes. So remember I told you about the non-disclosure. The non-disclosure doesn't apply to issues where you took the exam and you are really confident that one or more of the exam questions really didn't make sense. There were contradictory choices. There were errors in the question. Those things, if you're my student, you let me know as soon as you're done with the exam. Give me as much information about the question as you can. If there is a person's name in the question or whatever, let me know so that we can identify the question. And as I said, I will submit that to the IRS. You can submit that information during that survey at the end of the exam. That's where you have the time to write notes to the IRS. So you put that in there. The IRS and Prometric reads that information, or you can also send the information over here to epp@irs.gov. And if you're my student, send it to me as well, and I will reinforce it. Megan wants to know if you get your score immediately after the exam now. Yes, you do. So now you're going to see it immediately, and it's also going to be in your Prometric database. Somebody was telling me that she didn't get the printout on part one at the time. There was some glitch, and for some weeks they weren't actually doing that. And so she, you know, finished passing on Monday, and she wasn't sure if she could apply for her EA license. And she logged into her system and she found that because she was able to log into her Prometric system, the part one information about her passing was there and she was able to print it out later. So not only do you get it on the spot, you'll get a printout from them, or you can log into your account and print it out. You were 2 points away. You would have challenged if you had known. If you had a specific question that you didn't agree with, you could have challenged it and I would have helped you get that resolved. That's what I do. That's what a tax mama is for. So speaking of the challenge strategies, so I do fight for my students. I do get questions reviewed and removed from the exam when you give me the specifics. I do help with registration problems, and I have had the IRS give people new appointments, get them their money back. I've had them straighten out issues where people have had to travel too much and have been blown out by Prometric. If there is a problem within the system, I really am a nuisance. I have been working with the IRS since Prometric took this over and before that, but you know, in this system, fortunately, the same guy at the IRS has been handling it for all of these years. Unfortunately, he's going to retire. I don't know when, and I don't know who's taking his place. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that he doesn't do it at least during these next couple of years while we're fighting with, you know, the COVID issue. When you do pass, and you will pass, yes, you will. You're going to file Form 23. Ideally, you are going to do that online. So you can use this PDF file, or you can go to pay.gov and you can bypass all of that and just go to directly to that link, which will take you to the application. You will pay $67. It used to be $30. So now we've got $67 for your EA license, which is super cheap. Typically, it works for about 3 years, and $36 for the PTIN. $100 a year, what the heck, or $100, and we split 30, 67 over 3 years. When you apply, the IRS is going to do a background check. And in addition to a background check on you, they're also going to look at your tax filing and payment history. We talked about that in the beginning. And if you have a problem that you think might prevent you from getting your EA, let me know. And ideally, let me know in advance so we can clear it with the IRS before you start studying. It will take about 60 days to get your T card, your Treasury card. So it comes from the US Treasury. These days, when the IRS was processing them, they were actually getting them done in about 20 days. So when there's not a holiday or some other thing going on, it's fine. A couple of years ago, there was a problem when people paid online and submitted this online. IRS got the money, but they didn't actually get the application, so they never started processing. I haven't heard of that problem last year. So if you find that, you haven't heard from the IRS after about 3 weeks, just call them and ask them, not if they've done it, just ask them if they've gotten your application. So don't pester them. It's like when your clients keep calling you, "Are you done yet? Are you done yet?" Don't do that to the folks at the IRS. It's a small team. But if you do talk to someone, get their name and say nice things to them. Thank them for helping you. Those are real people and they're on your side. They're trying to get you done. If you file your tax return by April 15th electronically, and then you take the exam starting in May, they will process you more quickly. If you go on extension, they'll still process you, but it'll take longer. So they won't have the current information. So that's just kind of a little administrative tip. So, how long will it take for them to process your application? As I said, typically they say it will take about 60 days. They haven't been taking that long. If you don't have a social security number, well, shame on you for waiting until you finish the test. You couldn't have waited that long because you needed to deal with this issue to get your PTIN. So resolve this issue with getting the PTIN, and everything will fall into place after that because you've already gotten the PTIN. So it won't be a problem. Ooh, hold it. Somebody had a good question. What's if you recently retired from the IRS and applied and was approved to be an EA? Yes, but only for exam matters. And you want to take the EA exam in order to also be licensed to represent clients in collections. Oh, taxpayer advocate. My God, Janice, my heroes, the taxpayer advocate are absolute heroes. I guess you may have to take the exam. So you should be in compliance and you should have no problem, right? Definitely hoping for that. I think any, if I wanted, if I were ever going to work for the IRS, it would be for the advocate's office. So this is what the Form 23 looks like. You're going to file this electronically. You're not going to fill it out on paper. And so it shows you that the application fee is not refundable. Enter the PTIN. Now, here is something that gets people in trouble. The employer ID numbers. If you have been doing tax returns and working with business clients and you've been helping them get employer ID numbers, if you put your social security number on those applications, you need to make sure those clients were in compliance because it's showing up under your social security number when the IRS is doing their background check on you. So, firsthand, stop helping people fill out the SS4s using your social security number. Use the client's information at all time. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem. Oops. Yeah, there's a thing in this system I'm not liking. Now, the second page has the information. If you have a centralized authorization file number, make sure that you enter it. Theoretically, you should have only one. Somebody in one of the representation groups was posting yesterday or Monday that he had been using his CAF number. He's got 5,000 clients on his CAF number, and somehow it got changed in the last couple of weeks. And now he's having to go through the taxpayer advocate to get it all restored and everything. Typically, you should have one. You might have more than one. Hopefully, you don't. But if you have more than one CAF number, centralized authorization file number from a power of attorney or from a tax authorization form 8821, enter every one of them. Yes, you need to be current with the IRS, with the taxes. Nine, have you been sanctioned by a federal or state licensing authority? And that includes AICPA, the Bar Association. So yeah, I've got somebody who contacted me, he's been in practice forever, and something happened and he lost his CPA. It's suspended for a while. And so he was talking about getting his EA, but if he's been sanctioned by the AICPA, then IRS isn't going to give him a license either. Has any application you filed with a court, government, department, commission, or agency to practice ever been denied? Disclose if there is a reason that you were denied and it's no longer valid and you've improved or learned from it. Just tell them the truth. Have you been convicted of a tax crime or felony? Be truthful. It may have happened, but you may have learned from it and can be a better representative because of that. Have you been permanently enjoined from preparing tax returns or representing others before the IRS? If that is yes, you're not going to get your EA. So that's not a problem. Are you a CPA or an attorney? Enter the states you're entitled to practice. One of the things people keep asking about, notice the question that isn't here. Well, they didn't ask for an EFIN because that's just for electronic filing. So a lot of people who are doing representation aren't actually filing tax returns. So that's not necessary. You do need that if you're going to file tax returns. So if you're going to prepare tax returns, you're definitely going to need the EFIN. But the question they didn't ask about, and everybody asks this, what's if you filed bankruptcy? See, nothing over here about bankruptcy. If you filed bankruptcy, it's not going to disqualify you from getting your EA. What might disqualify you if you filed bankruptcy? If you bankrupted tax debt and you didn't pay your taxes, that might disqualify you unless you have a really good explanation about why it's never going to happen again. So people are always asking, if I file bankruptcy, is that going to disqualify me? No, it isn't going to do that. So that's the good news about that. How long do you have to study in order to pass this exam? It depends. It absolutely depends on you. I know people who have managed to pass everything in 5 weeks or less. They were doing it full time. They had a lot of basic knowledge to begin with, or they were just really good at exam taking. Some people, if you have no experience whatsoever and you just want to learn and pass the exam, well, you might have to put in a lot of hours. So depending on what tools you use, whatever software you're using for just answering the questions, if you do nothing but use software like Lambers or Glime, Fast Forward Academy, Passkey or whatever, if all you do is go through all of those questions in their database over and over again until you get 85%, you are very likely to pass the exam. You may not know how to do any thing in practical terms, but you might be able to pass the exam, each exam, in about 3 or 4 weeks. But I recommend that you're going to invest at least 30 hours per exam if you have some experience in training, double for part two. So various of the training tools like mine have videos. Definitely watch those. If you only have experience working with 1040s, you might want to invest 50 hours for part one, 120 hours for part two, and 40 hours for part three. If you have no experience and no education, you may want to double the study time, and that's just to pass the exam. If you want to pass the exam and learn, then you're going to need some more time. One of the neat things about my course is you can go through it and get ready to pass the exam and know I'm not going to remember everything for my practical uses with clients, but you can come back later and then watch the videos, the classes, and relearn what you need for a specific client issue, specific topic, and go back and learn about it when you need it. So it's still going to be there even after you pass the exam. Jennifer, don't worry about the polling credit. We're not doing credit over here. Jennifer says she is driving with Zoom on the phone, but thank you very much for listening. Well, while you're driving, that's very sweet. No, we're not doing credits today. Today is just testing the system. So this is one of the things I wanted to show you last 2019. Brad showed us his EA certificate, and he was just so jazzed. This was his first time working with this stuff, and he's building a practice. He had been working for people. He hadn't been really happy with the different jobs he had. And now he's out there building a practice, and things are going nicely. So for some people, you're going to make a transition into your own practice because you have an EA, or if you have a job, you're going to be able to do so many more things for your current boss. Very often, especially if you're in an older practice, you're going to be able to do things they don't know how to do when it comes to collections and IRS audit representation, things they have been farming out to other people, they'll be able to keep in the office. So, for those of you who came just to learn about the exam, I really want to thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it. And we're pretty much done with that. Anybody who wants to stay a little bit longer, I'm going to tell you about my course, but the rest of you aren't obligated to stick around. And if you do stick around and bear with me, then at the end, I'll also tell you how to get an extra $100 off of my class. But before we go do that, let me just see if there are any last questions. Okay. No questions that I need to cover. So, people who want to pass the EA exam, if you already have some pretty good tax experience with individuals and businesses, and all you want to do is pass the exam because you already know stuff, you don't need my class. I will tell you that right now. You can go to Fast Forward Academy or to Lambers and use that because I create the whole Lambers program. The software, all of the questions, we're working on updating it now, and the Lambers videos, I create all of that. It's all going to get recorded before the exam starts in May. So all of those things are going to be good, and they are cheaper than my class, and you don't have to do them through my live schedule, so they're also faster. But if what you want to do is not just learn how to pass the exam, but you also want to learn more about working with clients better than you've been doing now, learn from all the mistakes that I've made over the years and all the feedback we've learned from a lot of other people, how to pass the exam, how to make a living, how to do tax research, and get answers to your client questions or your tax practice questions, and have a community behind you, and make friends and connections with people like you all over the country who all have expertise in different areas, this is going to be a really great class for you. You may have noticed, I fight for you. I'm also your cheerleader. I am also there to perk you up. If I am afraid that there is something about to happen, and I got this sense from somebody a while back that she was so depressed that it was, I felt, I don't know, I was getting suicide vibes. I'm going to step in. I'm going to interfere with your life, okay? I'm also going to teach you how to set boundaries with your family and friends so that you're able to actually study. We already know the things everybody has done wrong, don't we, about our own study habits and everything else. So we're going to help you avoid those things in the first place and get some control over your life and get the encouragement you need to get through all of these exams this year, change your lifestyle, change your income level, and basically change your outlook on how you feel about yourself. We're going to make you feel better about yourself. So, oh, look at the comments. Thank you. Thank you very much, Latre, Nikki, Andrea. Thank you. I really appreciate it. But that's basically one of the main things that we offer you. We are going to offer you a lot of self-esteem. And people are not allowed to put anybody down. You're not allowed to put each other down in my world. And over the years, we have had some remarkable successes with people who thought they were never going to be able to do this, people whose teachers have told them how stupid they were, who turned into brilliant butterflies teaching other people, pulling them along. You are going to blossom. You are definitely going to blossom. If you took my class before, you are still in my class, not only until you pass, but after you pass. You get to stay with me until you unsubscribe from the class. So you're here as long as you want to be, and some people are here 15 years later. Believe me. So what are the benefits and participating in the premium course? The premium course is the premier information about my class. The class itself is live. It runs from May through October. The self-study version of the course is the recordings of the live class. So until we actually have the live class, the self-study material is not updated for that class. So the self-study kind of follows along with the live class. Our live class meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific. And it's interesting. How do we remove that? Okay, so it's 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific, so please know what your time zone is. I sent everyone a link to the time zone. And normally on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're going to be dealing with what I call the solving the tax puzzle classes. So that's the main part of the course where we're teaching the material. I have two different things. One is the solving the tax puzzle where you get continuing education credit for the AFSP, or if you're already an EA and coming back, or you're a CPA, you get continuing education credits for those. And then we have the final review sessions where we walk you through questions and answers about the EA exam, and you use your microphone, you take turns reading the questions, learning how to eliminate stuff, and we do those 8 a.m. on Saturday until noon Pacific. We don't provide continuing education credits for those. Sometimes, you know, we have the regular tax puzzle classes on Saturdays. Mostly, we have those on Tuesday and Thursday. The other benefit of the premium class is you get instant gratification. So just like here, you are able to get answers to your questions as we're going along. We're chatting with you. You're going to have a video of the class when the class is done. with Adobe, I was able to post the videos right away. Now I'm not sure yet how long it's going to take with Zoom or GoToMeeting. We're going to find out more today about how soon after we finish recording that we're going to be able to get that online. We get the audio, a separate audio file for those people who like to listen while they're working out or walking or driving. You'll have a separate audio. It takes us an extra day or two to get the audio file. So you're going to get the live class, the video, the audio, and the CPE for the classes. So you're going to get all of that. Most places will only give you about 15 hours of CPE or 2 or 4 hours of CPE, if at all. You're going to get about 80 hours or more of CPE. And so that's available for anyone who attends the live classes. So the premium does not include self-study CPE. So that's a whole different program. We'll talk to you about that in a moment. So what do you get? You get all the live classes. You get the audios. You get the final review sessions. We have 4 hours of that. Four times. So each class, part one, part two, and part three, has four final review sessions that run for 4 hours. And you get a bunch of cheat sheets, you get a bunch of other stuff. And included in the premium class, you get Fast Forward Academy's online bundle, you get Lambert's test prep system. You get the textbook web library for about a year or two, depending on when we set it up. And by the way, Lambert's and Fast Forward Academy, you get it until you pass. You get my Small Business Taxes Made Easy book. And you get over 80 hours of continuing education credit. You get Dropbox access. You get a couple of really terrific teachers who help you out as you go along. A monthly tax roundtable on a Thursday morning, usually the second Thursday of the month, where you can bring up any question at all. And after we're done with the class, after the class is over in October, we have live follow-up sessions where if you're studying for the exam, I customize those sessions specifically for the part of the exam that you are studying. So all of this is included in the premium class. So there's a lot that you get when you sign up for the premium class. It's for some people, it's more than you need. Some people it's more than you need, but for others, having the family, having the connection, and being able to continue to post questions on the board, get answers, get links to information, get information about how to work with clients. And sometimes I'm going to tell you, you are not prepared for those kinds of clients. Sometimes I will tell you that you are not ready for that, and that maybe you need to be working with somebody who can look over your information, which is not me, guys. So it's not going to be me. But maybe I can connect you with somebody who can work and look over your shoulder. So are we going to be using Zoom? As I said, I'm testing the system. This is the first time I'm testing it today. I see some problems with it. I'm working on that. I will learn how to work out some of those little glitches, especially like when I try to write on things and won't let me move the page and it won't erase them and stuff like that, and has people's little video popping up and stuff like that, but we'll see. So how does the class work? We're going to start the classes on Saturday morning, May 1st. We're going to do the orientation. We're going to work our way through what is going to be in the class. I will know more about the details of that long before May 1st. We start at 5 minutes after the hour. So May 1st, we're going to start at 8.05 a.m. And normally we don't take breaks on the Tuesday and Thursday 2-hour classes. We do take 2 breaks on the Saturday morning class. We record every class. So if you miss a class, you don't have to worry about it. Before every class, you're going to get 3 different versions, 3 different PDF files of the lecture, depending on how much you want to print out or if you're able to just write notes on the PDF file yourself. So You're going to have one with one slide per page, one with two slides per page, and one with three slides per page. And depending on how long it takes to get the video recordings back, you may get the video recording up in about 4 hours or less after class. As I said, Adobe, I used to be able to get it in minutes. I don't know how long this is going to take. The replay, so you'll see that it will look exactly the way it was in the class. The audio recording, I have to have somebody else process that for me. That'll take another day or so. And with all of the classes, you can replay them as often as you want to, and you can navigate just to the slides. I name all of the slides separately so you can find them. They're not all the same topic like I've seen some people do. So you can go straight to that slide and just listen to that part instead of having to put up with 2 whole hours. We are in the Pacific time zone. Yeah. You're definitely able to take the exam during the classes. So this is the only class on the planet that includes up to 80 hours of continuing education as part of the live class. And I will make sure that those of you who want to get the annual filing season program record of completion, because you can do that even if you're an EA. I'm an EA, and I get that anyway, just for the fun of it. But as I said, you need the 15 hours. And so I make sure that you have the ethics. You've got 2 ethics classes in part 3. So that's 4 hours of ethics anyway. The other 80 hours will qualify for the 10 hours, any of the 10 hours of the CPE you need. And we will always do a 3-hour tax update class that will give you the 3 hours of tax update you need for the AFSP. For returning students, so you'll get all of the CPE for the first year that you sign up. If you're a returning student, you can visit the classes, you can audit the classes, you can watch the classes, anything you want for free. You can watch the recordings and everything for free. If you want CPE for any of the classes, you'll just pay us $10 per CPE hour. That's it. No problem. Just log in, watch anything you need anytime that you want. So you can continue to learn things. And there are many other ways to get CPE for free from the IRS, from CPA Academy, fairly decent sources. So you don't have to pay for CPE, but you can still be part of the class and join us anytime. So what does it mean auditing? It means just show up and watch. Show up and watch, participate, talk to us, whatever. If you're a live student, you can come back anytime and join the live classes, which are always updated. Then we have a self-study version, which is a completely different software tool, and it has to get different kinds of certification and reviews from the IRS and from NASBA, which authorizes continuing education for CPAs. And so it's a whole other program where I have somebody cut apart the entire class, match it up, put it into a scoring system that includes testing along the way, includes final exams and CPE certificates. So that's a whole other system that I have to pay for separately. So if anyone wants to focus on being a self-study student only, you've got that access and you can use the self-study system for 2 years. As I said, though, the self-study part of this, you know, the separate self-study part with the CPE, those classes are only updated after we teach the live class. So it takes about 2 weeks after we teach the live class. If you're already a premium student and you want to get into the self-study system because you can't attend the live classes and you want the CPE for the self-study classes on your own schedule, we'll give you a discount for getting into that. Let's talk about some study tips. Let's talk about some ways to study for the exam before we have you leave. Emmy wants to know, though, if you purchase premium, can you start the self-study? You can. The premium class includes all the recordings. There's no CPE for those recordings, but you can watch them and start studying early. Absolutely. Very definitely, you can start watching those. So everybody does have a different learning style. And I have a little tool, a little survey tool that you can take so you can get to understand your own learning. You think you know how you learn, but maybe you don't. People who have told me that their teachers have told them how stupid they were go through that little tool and all of a sudden wake up and realize the teachers were ignorant and didn't understand that person's learning method. Some people have to stand and move around to learn. Teachers find that very disturbing. Some people have to do it with song. Some people have to touch things. Some people have to hear things or see things. So I'm going to help you identify, maybe for the first time, how smart you really are and what you need to do in order to learn for your optimal method. Because the way they taught things in school may not have been your best way to learn. So it's important for you to find out what you need to know so that you can learn. We also try to connect you up with other people. So if you can get a study buddy or two or three, little study buddy team, it will help you be committed, because sometimes you won't do things for yourself, but if you're committed to two or three other people who are counting on you to have material studied and prepared for a meeting that you're going to have, say, once a week, you're going to do it for them. I don't know how we got raised and why we think that we're not that important for ourselves, but we are, but we're much more likely to do it for somebody else. Some people won't study with others at all, and that's okay, but we'll help you connect with each other. And you don't have to live in the same area. You don't have to live in the same area, because your 3 o'clock in one time zone might be somebody else's 1 o'clock, and it might be ideal for them. Megan wants to know how much of our study time on our own outside of the live classes it requires. Again, it depends. Some people will learn everything they can just by listening and attending classes. But I figure if you add another 2 hours per session on your own or with a study buddy group, you're probably good. And maybe an extra hour to go through the questions and answers on the quizzes in Fast Forward Academy or Lambers. So you figure about 3 hours extra. Tell you what people have said. This is from Tom, and he passed everything in 6 weeks. He said, over the years, I've attended many lectures. He's not a young man. I can't remember any being as good as your presentations. You have an excellent style that makes learning and retention much easier. And people have told me, you know, they have the audio on or the video on with my voice. Their children start getting familiar with my voice. The one quality I really have that is fabulous happens to be my voice. Norbert sent me a note. He just came back from part 3 and he passed. I can only say thank you a million. Norbert is not a young man. Norbert is quite an older man. The exam was tough. I was well prepared thanks to your courses and practice reviews, as well as the exam questions from Fast Forward Academy. I spent much more time in preparing for this exam, much more than the other two, which is surprising. And it seems that this is the area that seriously challenged me the most. And then, of course, I like this part. Eva, you're awesome. Your courses are incredible. Thank you. They taught me everything I needed to know, and I couldn't have done it without you. And Susan, who is your cheerleader, her farm review was excellent. And it turned out he actually had farm clients that he was able to help better because of what Susan taught him. So remember, she's in Pennsylvania. I just got this note from Linnell. I wanted to thank you so much for your help. I was able to pass all 3 C tests the first time around, and I couldn't have done it without you. Besides what I learned in school and doing my own personal and family taxes, I have zero tax experience. And a lot of people come to me. Some people are secretaries in accounting firms or whatever. And so they have some exposure, but no experience. I initially wanted to learn taxes to help my husband understand the taxes he will pay for his trucking business he started last year. And thanks to your classes, I'm planning to have my own virtual accounting and tax business. I completed Form 23 and applied for my EA status today. And since she knows trucking, I want to provide bookkeeping and tax services to truckers like my husband. I'm an accountant, and this will be a side hustle for me, but I hope it will grow into something bigger. And that's what happens. You have an area of specialization. I want to emphasize, one of the classes we have is on how to make a living, and it talks about emphasizing your areas of strength. Victor just passed the three exams, and he wants to thank me for the knowledge I passed on. He says, I hope you remember every day all the good you do and how it replicates through your course. I probably will not remember a lot of specific information, such as a form number or a particular IRS penalty amount. And I'm okay with that because I can always look that up. However, I will never forget one of the stories you told. Take care of your clients. I have taken clients for up to 3 years and not charging them until they got on their feet. And that's what my family would call tzedakah. And that's true. One of the other things that I try to teach you other than ethics is I also try to teach you how to be kind to the people that you're dealing with, but also how to filter out the ones that are just going to make your life a living you know what. So when do current students lose access? They lose access if you unsubscribe. If you never unsubscribe, you stay in the class forever. How many people are usually in the live classes? It depends, anywhere from 50 to 100 or more, but it doesn't really matter because just like this, you know, you're able to chat, you're able to get attention. And if it gets too big, then we'll bring it back down. But we've got people like Susan and Lulu and a new instructor, Jeff Schneider, helping out. And so you're going to get a lot of personal attention, but not excessive. You know, if you need too much, if you're too needy, we're going to teach you how to set boundaries. Emmy wants to know, is it a lump sum payment? You can do it in three installments. So we have an installment option on the website. My guarantee is, if you don't pass, you get to stay in the class until you pass, regardless of how long it takes, unless you unsubscribe from the class. Anytime you unsubscribe from the class, you are done. So don't unsubscribe. If you need to change an email address, let me know, but don't unsubscribe because you will lose privileges. If you do pass, you can stay in the class as long as you want, and you don't have to worry about paying anything. The software that we're working with right now, the accounting, the question and answer software, Lambers and Fast Forward Academy, I have deals with them where those don't expire. So you get to stay with them as long as you like. We don't use Gleim anymore because it's very expensive. It's almost as much as my class. And they also have expiration unless you buy their premium stuff. But what I did do is negotiate discounts. So if anybody wants to buy Gleim separately, we have a two-page order form with Gleim discounts for anybody who wants to use that. Some things that I will warn you about. We expect people to be treated nicely, and sometimes I lose my temper and I will apologize, but if you are rude in class, if you're disruptive in class, if you don't settle down, we're going to kick you out of the class. We don't do that. We've been teaching this class online for 17 years, and we've only done that twice, and it took a lot before we kicked them out. The other thing is, if you are using the installment payments, you have three payments. The first one is a larger payment because we have to buy all the software for you. And then you've got two smaller payments. If you don't make those payments, we're going to kick you out because the first payment only covers the software I bought for you. If you need additional time to make the other payments, let me know. Don't just ignore the email. You're going to get an email that tells you the payment is going to come due. So upfront, put it on your calendar 30 days apart. You're going to get an email a week or two before the next payment. Let me know if your credit card isn't going to work because you had an identity theft or you canceled the card. Let me know. If we know, we can work with you. If you don't, we may end up the computer will send you three reminders after it tries to charge you. If it doesn't work and you don't respond when we try to follow up, then we're going to lock you out because all the money that we spent at the very beginning covers Lambers, Fast Forward Academy, and the tax book. We don't get any of that money. So you haven't actually paid for any of the class. So if you want to use the installment payment, that's fine, but make sure that you actually pay it. If you have Fast Forward Academy, let me know and we'll give you a discount for that. So just send us an email and we'll give you a link. Is the way Mr. Robert explained it. I don't know. Who is Mr. Robert? I don't know who Mr. Robert is. Sorry. Okay. And so I'm going to thank you all very much for staying with us this long without any breaks. I really appreciate it. We are going to put the handouts. The handouts are already up as far as the PowerPoints. They're at the main school website, which we call IRS Exam News FAQs. We'll put the recording up there. On the taxmama.com website, it's over there on the everything about the EA exam page. And in our school, we call the board, the class library, it's already, the handouts are already up there. And we are going to post the video and the audio in all of these places today or tomorrow. And if you register today, you're going to get the early bird discounts and some other discounts. And I'm going to show you what else you're going to get. So first of all, we've got a $300 early bird discount that's going to be good until April. And if you register by midnight tonight, you're going to get an extra $100 discount. Actually, I've set it up until February 21st, and I'll give you the code on the next page. If you are a Tax Mama paid family member, there's an additional extra 20% discount. And as I mentioned earlier, if two people sign up at the same time in the same registration form, there's a 15% discount built in. Today, the first five people who sign up only today, we will get you this Logitech headset and we'll send that to you so that you can use that with the class. So that's the first five people. The first 10 people who sign up, some of you may be old enough to remember these peachy folders. I love these things in school. And remember on the right-hand side, on each of the tabs on both sides of the inside of the folder, they had all of these tables, the multiplication tables, these conversion tables. I mean, all through elementary school and high school, we use these things. So you're going to get three of these peachy folders, one for each part of the exam, so you can store your notes and things in this adorable place. And the discount code to get the extra $100 off until February 21 is EVA_Feb, EVA underscore Feb. If you do that, it'll be good for the next few days. And so you'll get the $300 off and the headset and the peachy and the $100 and everything else. And that is it for me today. Somebody is asking about Lambers. If you are already a member of the Tax Mama class from years ago and you don't have Lambers, let us know and we will give you a discount to order that. No, we'll take care of that. So we'll take care of the Lambers thing. The class is 133 equals 57. I don't know what that means. No, Feb, FEB, EVAFEB, February. Hang on. Let's see, what questions am I missing? I'm trying to go up and see if there are any other questions that we missed. Andrea, you're in class. Just keep going till you pass the parts and beyond. Absolutely. Is there a link? Is there a link? Lulu, can you paste in the link to irisexams.school registration? I can't because I have the whole thing open. It won't let me do that. So each hour is one CPE credit. 80 hours is $100. No, you don't need 80 hours of CPE. So you don't want to pay $800 for CPE credits. You might need 10 or 12 hours of CPE. You can come to all of the classes, but you don't need CPE for all of them. And you're going to pick up a lot of free CPE. You might only want 2 or 3 hours of CPE. What's the code for the $300 off? Sherry wants to know. It's already built into the order form. So it's already built in there, so it's fine. Are people from other countries working US taxes? Yes, they are. In fact, in our classes, we have people in Mexico. We had our roundtable meeting last week, and one of the people, Tony, was from Mexico. Denise was in Vienna. We have teams of people in London that are working for a firm. There are people all over the world, and I'll also teach you how to be able to work around the world. Ah, there you go. Thank you very much. Yeah, Gutan, you can get all your CPE outside of this class, but you just come here. You don't have to pay for any of the CPE because you can get CPE anywhere. Just come. You only have to pay if you're actually going to, want to get credit for that particular class. Maybe, you're going to the No, it's not 1157 less 400. The 1157 is the reduced price. And if you use this discount code EVAFEB, you'll get $100 off. So you'll get $100 off. As I said, if you go to that registration page, it shows you what the current discounted price is. And the $100 discount is the extra bonus for sticking around with us. So yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. So if you're already in the class, don't do that though. So does anybody have any other questions? Because I am going to stop the recording.